Welcome to Marketgy, the science of marketing strategy, a bi-weekly podcast where all the cool marketers discuss their favorite marketing strategies, study by study. On this show, we feature marketing risk takers who believe long-term wins for the customer equal long-term wins for the business too. How? Human-led marketing. The combination of where science, creativity, and strategy meet. Or, as we also like to call it, Marketgy. Let's break down the marketing trends, myths, and methodologies together. I'm your host, Leanne Dalweimer. Let's go. How do you take personalization beyond just using someone's name in an email and make it a real strategy? Join us with special guest Eric Melker, talented marketer and podcast host, personalization ambassador at Optimunk, and partner marketing consultant at Liftoff SRL. We'll be discussing how personalization is an excellent opportunity to provide customer-centric experiences that are better for your customers and your business. Welcome to Marketgy. I have with me Eric Melker, and he is going to tell us a bit about himself. Let's kick this off fast.
Yeah, well, my background is basically in customer experience, working with video, email, and web personalization platforms like Optimunk. And so I worked with companies in either a marketing or CX capacity. I've also done a lot of work with startups as a consultant. So also, because I'm an expat living in Europe, I host a podcast called Innovators Can Laugh, where I interview fast-growing European startups here in Europe as they share their growth strategies and tips.
That's awesome. Quick question. So since you're from the US in Europe, what are some things that you've noticed business-wise that are different?
Business-wise, I've noticed that when people here go on vacation, they actually go on vacation, meaning that they don't check email, they don't really do any work. And a vacation minimum here is like usually 10 days, where I've never taken a 10-day vacation. I think the most I've ever taken is like maybe 6 or 7 days, and I worked during that time. So here, it's definitely more of, you know, work-life balance. Vacation is taken very seriously. So that's probably the biggest thing I've noticed.
Awesome. I think we're all a little jealous sometimes. So you mentioned that you work with Optimunk. What is Optimunk? How are you? What is your role there? Tell me all about it.
Yeah, well, Optimunk is a web personalization platform that helps small and mid-sized businesses generate more revenue through their website. We do this by giving brands the power and the tools to build their email lists, to reduce cart abandonment, to increase the average order value. But most importantly, we help brands deliver an exceptional customer experience online.
Awesome. And so one thing that, you know, I think you had mentioned was that the platform had grown very quickly in just a few years. What was that like?
Well, I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, it was fantastic. We've got a great product. You know, we have more than 500 five-star reviews on Shopify. But I think a lot of the success comes from the owners, and they themselves were in the e-commerce space. They had stores, but they also had developed a product that assisted a lot of other e-commerce stores. And in the Hungarian market, they became very well known. They had a great stellar reputation, but they also became well known as consultants who could really help brands with their online customer experience and identifying ways on how to sell more online and how to grow, you know, brands' email lists, how to reduce cart abandonment. And so that's where it all started. And then it developed into where we are right now with this platform. It's a personalization platform. So it morphed into, you know, going from a product to now into a platform phase. And it's been fantastic.
Great. When we chatted before, you mentioned some amazing results from a simple strategy of like adding personalization. So when you say personalization, tell us what that looks like on, you know, on your daily basis or on a website and with the product.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right? I have a story here that I kind of relates to this that I'll share real quick. Before moving to Bucharest, my in-laws came to visit us in Houston, where I'm from. And it was their first time to the States. And I was excited because I wanted them to have a great time. And so I asked my wife, you know, what do they want to see? Do they want to go to New York? Do they want to go to the Grand Canyon? And Leanne, do you know what their response was? You want to take a guess here?
Oh, man. Did they want to? I don't know. I feel like American malls are somewhat of a thing. I don't, because Texas does everything better. So in my mind, Texas malls must be huge, not having been there.
Well, the malls are okay in Texas, but what they wanted to see was the Dallas Ranch. Now, I think maybe you're too young, and so you don't know what I'm talking about here, but back in the 80s, there was this popular show. It was like combining Seinfeld, Friends, and Sex and the City, and it was a show called Dallas. Have you ever heard of it?
I've heard of it, but it was a little bit before when I was, or my parents just didn't show it to me.
Yeah, it was before my time too, but apparently this was their favorite show, and so they wanted to see the Dallas Ranch, and so they caught a direct flight into Dallas. And we pick them up and we're driving to the Dallas Ranch. And I can't believe this. I'm like, I can't believe this is the thing that they want to see coming to America. And this is the first thing on their list, right?
Right.
So we're driving up to the Dallas Ranch and there's like 30 different flags representing, you know, 30 different countries. And they're looking at the flags and they point out there's the Romanian flag. And I'm just like bewildered. Like, why are all these flags up, right? And so I'm looking at them and they're excited. And we get out the car, we go inside, we pay our tickets and we're waiting for the tour to start. There's probably about 12 people there. And the tour guide starts asking everybody, where are you from? And so there's people, we're from Germany. And, you know, there's other people, we're from South Africa. And my in-laws are, you know, we're from Romania. And so the tour guide reaches into this box, pulls out these audio players for each group or each person. And she goes, great. Here's the audio tour guide in German. Fantastic. Here's the audio tour guide in Afrikaner. You know, here is the tour guide in Romania, right? And I was just so dumbfounded because I did not expect that, and neither did they. I mean, that in itself brought a smile to their face, and now they realized that they were going to hear this tour in their own language. Didn't have to like wait for my wife to translate anything. Didn't just, you know, have to experience this tour in English, which they don't speak, right? And so this tour could have turned out to just be an ordinary tour if it was in English, right? But that would have meant it would have been a very, very underwhelming and poor experience. And so instead, by seeing the Romanian flag, hearing the tour in Romanian, you know, they're now like, this made the trip. This made the trip. And when you go into their living room, what's hanging on the wall is a picture of all of us with a picture at the Dallas Ranch. We all got cowboy hats on, and, you know, we're smiling. And there's a picture of the JR cutout, cardboard cutout next to them with their arms wrapped around it. And they're just so proud and like being in there because this show was like the only American show that was playing during that time in Romania and many other countries. So that's why it was so popular. So what is this world, you know, what does this mean to e-commerce or for businesses? Well, if you think about e-commerce, unfortunately, almost 99% of brands think this way. They think that, let me just give the standard experience to everybody that comes here. And unfortunately, that's not what people want, right? They think that, hey, if I want to increase my revenue, let me come up with some kind of promotion that I can share with everybody, and that will lead to more sales. Or if I want to generate more revenue, I can increase my advertising spend on Facebook ads or Google ads. But the problem is that these strategies just aren't sustainable. You know, they eat into your profit margins, they sacrifice long-term relationships with your customers, and they're really just short-term thinking. So instead of thinking short-term, just ask yourself, how can I provide value and help the person? And so one example that a lot of our customers, a lot of our brands that use OptiMonk do really, really well, they take that long-term approach. And so instead of immediately trying to get somebody to purchase something or give up their email address, here's an example. Imagine you're in the health and wellness space and you have a visitor who comes to your website organically. You don't know anything about them, right? They came organically. And so you could welcome that person by showing a pop-up saying, welcome here. And because you're in the health and wellness space, and maybe you specialize in three or four different things or three or four different products, you can ask them a question. Simply like, what is it that you're trying to solve here? Are you trying to lose more weight? Are you trying to sleep better? And based on that question, many people, more than 25% on average, will answer that question. If you ask that question and incentivize it by saying, if you answer this question, we'll give you a 10% discount, right? And so now you've created this micro engagement. You're not trying to push anything on them. You just want to know more about them. And you're going to start personalizing that experience in real time. And so a lot of our brands do that very, very well. If they don't know anything about the customer, they immediately want to do a micro engagement. And so they can learn something about the customer. And then after they learn something about the customer, they start personalizing the rest of the experience in real time on the website. How does that sound? Yeah.
That sounds pretty amazing. So one of the last things you said was a micro engagement. Now, for somebody listening who wouldn't really know how to do a micro engagement, what's an example or how would you define that?
Yeah, a micro engagement can be usually in the form of a click, right? Mm-hmm. And so maybe just putting a little sidebar or a little pop-up message on your website that gets the person to respond, usually in the form of a click. And so that's one example. And another example is, let's suppose, because you can look at the location where somebody's coming to your website from, let's say you have a visitor from Germany and your store is in the US, and you've noticed that a lot of people who are coming from Germany tend to not really purchase until they send an inquiry. And that inquiry is, hey, do you ship to Germany, right?
Right.
So what you can do is like, once you recognize where the person's coming from, you could show a little side message that says, hey, welcome from Germany. Yes, we ship there, right? And so now you've just established a little bit of reassurance and trust in your brand, and it leaves a little favorable impression. And that's what you can call a micro engagement right there. That little act.
Love it. Yes, absolutely. And I think it's just sprinkling of those little touches where it's just right type of, you know, like value is hugely important.
Yeah. So let me go back to the first example real quick here.
Yeah.
You remember, the example is a health and wellness space, right? You're asking somebody a question and you say, hey, if you answer, we'll give you a 10% discount, right? We're not even asking for their email address, just saying, just answer this question, you get a 10% coupon code. About 25% of people on average will answer that, will click through that. And then great, the second screen they could see is, fantastic, here is your discount code. By the way, because you want to learn trips, you know, strategies on how to sleep better, would you like to give us your email address so we can send you offers and content on how to sleep better, right? That one question. Now, they've already submitted, you know, they've already answered the question. They've already got the coupon code. What we're seeing from our clients is that because of that first micro engagement, they're more likely to do a second micro engagement and say, sure, why not? Now you personalize the experience. They know that they're not going to get content that is something related to something else that they're not interested in. You know, they're interested in trying to learn how to sleep better. And so we're seeing about 35% on average, people willingly give their email address and signing up, subscribing to your newsletter, because they know that the information that they're going to receive is personalized, right?
Right. And it's also like somewhat of a prequel, right? Because people that aren't interested in that content aren't being served that request.
Absolutely. And it does it in there, Leanne. So after that second screen, what you can also do is, now that you have this information that you collected about them, you know their interests, right? You can actually show a third screen and say, oh, since you are interested in learning how to sleep better or wanting to sleep better, here's our top three products that can help you sleep better, right? And so what that does now, it helps increase conversions, because now the person doesn't have to go searching your website, navigating and trying to find out, you know, what's the products that are right for them. You're presenting them your best products related to their specific interests. And to top it off, is that you've more than doubled conversion rates, right? Because the first pop-up is going to give you a 25% on average click-through. The second pop-up, about a 35% on average click-through. And so now you've already more than doubled your list building activities, because the average pop-up gives you about a 3-4% conversion rate if you're trying to subscribe or get people to subscribe to your newsletters. But this method will more than double that. You're looking at 9% or above list building conversion rate just by doing those simple micro engagements right there.
Love it. And I mean, we don't need to talk too much about how great list building is, but it's definitely something I'm passionate about. Because one of the things is that you get these people and you spend so much time, money, and effort to get them just to that stage where they'll come to your website or they'll see what you're posting on social. And I love email because it has a warm place in my heart, if you will, because it does give you that more engaged, that easier, actionable, longer term relationship that is capturing them to and being becoming part of your people.
Yeah, absolutely. And most brands wait to start personalization with the email, right? But that's after the post-purchase experience. Here, you're starting that personalization experience in real time while they're on your website. And now, because they've answered questions, you can segment them automatically into different funnels that you're using for email. And so you don't have to wait to send out an email and wait, okay, did this person click on this link here? And if they did, I put them in another automation. No, you've already segmented them. And so you know what they're interested in. And now you can nurture that process. You can begin nurturing them, educating them. And so now you're actually going to increase the revenue and the conversions that you get from your email campaigns because you already have this better segmented.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that you didn't start off by annoying people off your website by blasting them with like all the like generic ones where it's just like 10% off. Like, no, I just got here. I don't know you yet. And I think, you know, that's where, you know, there's always the hard sales, the hard marketing, and the brute force is a phrase another person used that just alienates people. And so, you know, I love that this approach takes into consideration what the people want and allows them to self-serve, but also be served the type of thing that they're looking for.
Yeah, that actually happened this morning. I went to a website. I was there a couple of seconds and immediately I got this pop-up asking for my email address. It was like, hey, do you want to subscribe and get the latest news from us? And it's just a frustrating and annoying experience, right? If you take the time out to think, okay, how can I segment like maybe my top three, you know, different segments, right? And how do you find those? We'll get into a second, how do you find them? But how do I deliver a better experience? You know, and if I don't know anything about them, I can begin by asking a question using that example with the health and wellness brand, right? But a lot of brands actually have a lot of data at their disposal. You have your IP address, so you could do a welcome to people that are coming to your website, maybe from a different country or even a different channel. If you notice that, hey, if you're looking in Google Analytics and you're seeing, oh, wow, my visitors from Instagram, I'm getting a lot of them, but the bounce rate is significantly higher than my visitors from Facebook. You know, let me do something different for my visitors from Instagram. And so maybe you could welcome them and give them, you know, maybe a coupon code or simply ask them like, what is it that you're looking for? Welcome. You know, we love Instagram too, but help us out here. What are you interested in? Right. And so if you look at the data and figure out where the experience is, where people are dropping off by high bounce rate or low conversion rate, that's where you can start and start doing these little, and again, you can call them tips, strategies, segmentation, whatever you want, but that's what we provide. We provide the tools on how to personalize the experience and just provide value, but also learn from the customer at the same time.
Right. Because at the end of the day, like we can talk about how cool this is, but the actionable part is that there's a tool that exists that helps you with this, you know? And I think that that's where a lot of our, you know, marketing creative minds get stuck is finding the specific thing to do the specific thing. And, you know, vague phrases aside, it can be, you know, we have brainstorming sessions, we spend all this mental effort and we think about how we could do things better, but then we need the actionable tips, that we need the actionable use cases. Because, you know, even just looking at the data, it's really easy for people, one common mistake that is a little controversial. But sometimes people are like, oh, this is too high for cost per click. But then, you know, is it because of a mismatch? Is it because of your creative? Is it because the type of click you need that actually ends up converting is more expensive, right? You could have like a ton of low cost clicks that just go to like the vapor. And or you might have like five higher cost ones that actually convert. And so, you know, with things like this, and another tangent aside is that in social specifically, because I spent a lot of time there in the past 5 years, was that I would have clients that would be like, well, we're going to measure you by how many customers you bring in. I'm like, well, I'm only the very top of your funnel. I'm only where people meet you. Like if they go to your website and they don't convert, like I don't have control over that. So I see so many uses for this, but at the end of the day, it's really just making sure that you're serving the person that you're trying to attract, what they're looking for.
Yeah. So here's another, my number one recommendation for anybody that's thinking about personalization, right? My number one advice is change the copy and the headline of the landing page based on the demographics or interests of your shopper. Now, most products out there, they have more than one value proposition, right? We have a brand, for example, BlendJet, one of our clients, and they have this great blender. But the value propositions are, hey, it's portable. It's self-cleaning, right? It's very powerful. It's easily rechargeable through USB. So they have these different value propositions. And they're running all these ads on Facebook, right? Based on the different demographics and value proposition. So instead of sending all of those different people to the same landing page, they're using those campaign parameters that they're creating for specific campaigns in Facebook and plugging those same campaign parameters into our platform and just changing the headline and the value proposition. So that way, when somebody clicks on one of the ads that was really around the portability feature and highlighting that, when they click on that, they're going to go to the page and the main headline is centered around how portable the blender is. And so that's the easiest thing that you can do is just, hey, if you're spending money on advertising and whatever it is that, whatever your copy that you have on that specific ad, whatever that main value proposition is, make sure it's on the landing page too, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of people use different tools out there and they'll create, you know, they'll go to Unbounce or whatever, and they'll create dozens and dozens of different landing pages. You could do that. It'll take a lot of time and effort.
It does.
But you can use like a platform like OptiMonk and you can have the same landing page, but easily be able to switch out the headline automatically based on the parameters of your advertising campaigns in Facebook.
Which, you know, is a huge time saver because yes, making individual landing pages are an experience and it depends how much, you know, how many use cases you have. One thing we haven't quite talked about yet is privacy and you're in Europe. So I'm really curious how this comes into play when you're talking about personalization and where do you think the balance is? It sounds like you're really, you know, using the micro engagements to get not just like a passive permission, but an active permission to be contacted. But when someone first comes to interact, how does privacy play in there? Where's the line? Where's the fine line?
Well, it really depends on if somebody wants to receive, you know, personalized content based on their website behavior. Now we use cookies, right? Mm-hmm. And I love personalization. I rarely delete my cookies because I like seeing content that's really related to my interests, you know? And so that's what we base all of the activity from, all the content that we serve that's personalized. It's really based on a person's behavior, what they do on the website, the time viewed on a page, you know, where they scrolled, what they clicked on, right? But if a person is not a fan of this, they could simply just disable third-party cookies on their web browser, and they won't see any of this stuff being personalized for them.
Yeah, definitely. And then here in California, you know, people are required to have the opt-out cookies just for anyone that was considering skipping that step. Please don't, because it'll don't skip that step.
Yeah, same thing here too in Europe. You've got to be GDPR compliant, which we are. And of course, I think most brands in most places now have that same, just like you mentioned, where you have to either accept the cookies or you don't accept them. And so I usually accept them all the time. Like I said, I would rather have a personalized experience than just a generic one.
Yeah. I mean, I really love seeing marketing in action. So I will sign up for like all the cookies and all of the, you know, email lists. Question that I guess people should ask is, you know, there's this running joke that marketers have so many tabs open, but the real people that are in marketing, I think the bigger question is how many notifications for your emails do you have existing? And I want to see if I could get a top number. Like I saw someone post about how they had like 70,000 unread emails.
70,000? Oh my God.
because they just never, you know, they were signed up to lists, and it was probably across multiple inboxes, but it was just like, that's the thing is marketers, we want to see what other people are marketing or, you know, and know what we want to do and what not to do. And, you know, and it comes back to also being actively engaged and giving permission to be on those email lists.
Yeah, I posted a tweet not too long ago and I said, I don't want to brag, but I cleaned out my email inbox. And people were like, what? How did you do it? And they were just all these questions like, you know, how did you do it? And I said, okay, well, let me just be transparent. It was just for one email address and not all my email addresses.
Exactly. Just one inbox. Just one. Definitely. I love it. So we've talked about a lot about things that people could do today. Now, where do you think the future of marketing is going? And what do you think it should be? Do you think they're the same? Do you think there's a divergence?
Yeah, well, I think when it comes to retail, I think personalization is going to be a huge factor. That's where the expectations are. You know, Netflix is, hey, you watch this, you may like this. Amazon, you purchase this, other people like you also purchase this. And they try bundling things together or recommending things that based on your behavior that you may like. And I think the retailers who haven't started doing this, now that tools are available like OptiMonk, are going to have to get on the bandwagon because that's what people expect now. They expect that personalization. They expect that when you go back to a website and you know you had left the shopping cart with different items in the shopping cart, they expect that when you go back that the website is going to be able to say, oh, you know, welcome back. You know, here's the items that you had in your cart, or here's, you know, the page that you were looking at or whatever, right? And so they're going to be looking for tools that can do that. And so when it comes to retail, personalization all the way. And to answer your other question, where's the marketing going in the future? I think it's a little bit scary for me. I think the technology that you see brands like Amazon doing, where they have the Amazon Echo in the house, I think they're using those different tools just to listen and listen and listen and collect data. Because the more data that they collect, the more they can actually personalize and offer, you know, visitors, shoppers, users, whatever you want to call them, things that those people really need. And all of a sudden, it's like, I don't have to make any decisions here. Amazon already knows what I need. And I just know if I press a button or if I set this thing on automatic every week, I'm going to get like, you know, whatever it is I talked about, or they overheard me saying, or whatever it is, you know, I was browsing on their website. So I think it's kind of scary, even though I'm a marketer. I'm fascinated by technology, but at the same time, a little bit afraid of that.
Yeah, I heard last spring about how Google has something like 500 different pieces of information about you. And, you know, that's not crazy. It should be crazy. It was crazy 15 years ago. But, you know, we're so entrenched, and especially with the, you know, past 3 years of what's changed and how everything's come online. I think that beyond just the amount of data that exists about us in the digital space, that it's also becoming more integrated with the physical space. And so things like the like public cameras and things like, you know, the devices like the Echo or Google Home or even the Facebook portal, there's so many opportunities where we are willingly giving more information than some people might think we are. And then the other aspect, though, is that it does give us a tremendous value. And, you know, I personally love going to some of the larger retailers and seeing the suggestions of how they would put like necessarily a shirt with a skirt or pants or what how they bundle it. And I think that it's becoming, in order for it to become a more level playing field, that some of the smaller retailers are really gaining traction by being able to do the things that you're talking about and having the tools to do that. And so I think that this could benefit society by creating more smaller businesses and supporting them in addition to the larger retailers.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're all about. I mean, we're all about helping businesses target better, just being able to offer a great experience based on where the person came from, you know, what source, what channel, what location, and then giving them the tools to create simple messages that are beautiful and elegantly designed. We offer more than 300 different templates, or you can create your own. And then also giving them the means to integrate their platform, whether it's Shopify, WooCommerce, MailChimp, ActiveCampaign, hundreds of others, different platforms, being able to integrate that with OptiMonk. So whatever occurs on OptiMonk can be recorded in your CRM or email platform. So the tools are out there now. OptiMonk obviously is one that we love. There's been more than 500 five-star reviews on Shopify. You know, go to OptiMonk.com to see why. But in the world of retail, personalization is the future, and we're trying to give you the power just to make that a reality, not just with your brand, but also with your customers.
Awesome. So I'm going to go get that blend jet, but also if someone wanted to reach out to you or get in contact with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Oh, LinkedIn. Just look up Eric Melchor, E-R-I-C-M-E-L-C-H-O-R. Also go to OptiMonk.com. Check out our website right there, but those are the best ways.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I'm so glad we were able to connect across continents. I hope you have a great rest of your evening. But, you know, who knows what time people will be listening to our episode. And thank you so much again.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Marketgy, the science of marketing strategy. If any of the strategies we talked about today inspired you to learn more, try them. Remember, the perfect strategy doesn't exist, only the one that gets done. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast player to make sure that you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening. Until next time.